Doug Pratt from the Michigan Education Association. He's on the other end of our line. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
It's going to be a busy day for you today, isn't it?
Just a little bit. You know, every election day is a good day, but, you know, this one's going to be particularly busy.
All right. Where's your focus going to be at today and the MEA's focus?
Well, I mean, always MEA's focus is on making sure that friends of public education get elected. But, you know, in particular today, we are very focused up in Grand Blanc, Michigan, on the Paul Scott recall.
Why focus on Paul Scott and perhaps not the governor or other people who voted along the same lines as he did when it came to education issues?
Well, for why we're focusing on him today, he's the only one on the ballot. So, but the fact is, Paul Scott, as chair of the House Education Committee, voted to slash $1 billion from public education, voted to tax senior citizens' pensions, and he did that to help pay for a $1.8 billion tax break for corporate special interests. You know, that's not what he ran on. That's not what the people of this district elected him to do. And they have a constitutionally protected right to hold him accountable for those actions.
Doug, isn't that an indictment on others? There are many others who voted along the same lines, and you got a governor who was pushing those too.
Absolutely. I mean, we're not happy with any of them. You know, and we've made that very clear. But this is one that got on the ballot. Paul Scott, you know, there was an effort here on the ground that we're supporting, Citizens Against Government Overreach. They had a good plan that they had put together, and they got it on the ballot. If you think back to July, you know, we were involved in other races as well to try to get recalls onto the ballot. But this is the one that got there.
Got an email from a teacher a few days ago. I read this on the radio, and I want to get your response. It was a teacher, and it was a single parent, someone who's been struggling, and she had a problem that so much money from the MEA was going toward election-type issues, from issues as opposed to putting money back into teachers' pockets. How would you respond to that?
Well, it's all interconnected. I mean, first of all, MEA doesn't use dues dollars for support of candidates. We use voluntary PAC contributions. So that's the first thing. But, you know, secondly, you know, the money that goes into the wallets of educators across the state, you know, comes from people who are elected, comes from the budgetary decisions that are made in the Capitol. You know, it's a shame that education has become so politicized, but every education decision is, at its core, a political decision. And so we have to be involved in that process.
Do you think that the education budget will be different moving forward, or do you think it'll continue to get slashed?
You know, I think if we ever want to break this cycle of the economic downturn we're in, we need to invest in education. You know, every serious economist will tell you that investment in strong public education is the best long-term investment you can make in the economy. It's what prepares people for the workforce. It's what attracts businesses. You know, all this other stuff, the attacks on unions, you know, the attacks on working people, taking more money out of, you know, middle-class families' wallets and bank accounts, you know, that doesn't help the economy. That doesn't increase the spendable cash that people have. What it does is it lines the pockets of a select few, and at the expense of everybody else. We need to make sure that stops.
Doug, how much money per pupil would the MEA like to see?
You know, that's a tough question. I mean, you know, what's adequate, what's necessary, you know, across the state? That's going to be a little different from district to district, depending on cost of living, depending on the facilities, the age of the facilities that you have, depending on the specific demographics of the area, depending on how many at-risk students you have. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. So, you know, can I peg a straight number on it? No. But is it a heck of a lot more than $7,000 a kid? Absolutely. You know, look at it. Look at the places that we think have, you know, a world-class K-12 education, private schools, Detroit Country Day, places like that. Their tuition's, you know, well north of $10,000, oftentimes, you know, higher than that in some cases that they spend per kid. If we want that kind of an education for every student in the state, we need to make that investment.
Do you believe that pay and benefits should be along the same lines as it is in the private sector?
Well, it is. When you compare apples to apples, when you include the total compensation, you know, the salary, which is nowhere near what you can get in the private sector for people who have a similar background as teachers, you know, the benefits, the retirement, the fact is, public employees and school employees in particular have been making concessions over the years. They've been putting kids first, but they also have families they have to support. You know, I talked to a woman who was in tears a couple weeks back. She's got a second-year teacher with a master's degree, and her take-home pay right now is less than $500 every 2 weeks. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, somebody who has a master's degree, who's invested in their education, is dedicated to kids, is pulling home poverty-level wages. That's just wrong.
Do you think that the, and I'll use this adjective, attack on unions is coming to a head?
You know, I think today's going to be an important day for that. I mean, voters didn't send, and Republicans didn't run on a platform of doing all this. They ran on a platform of creating jobs. Well, show me the jobs. At this point, we still have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. You know, they're more focused on attacking workers and the unions that represent them than creating jobs. That's got to stop. And I think what you're going to see today, you know, here in Grand Blanc and also south of the border in Ohio, where they had a very controversial labor law passed that attacked unions, attacked worker rights. They've got a repeal for that on the ballot today. You know, when those items are victorious in Ohio and here, I think that sends a message that the public is not happy with the direction that the Republican leadership in this state and across the country are taking.
But do you think that the leadership that we received from Jennifer Granholm over the last 8 years was beneficial to education?
You know, there were lots of occasions upon which we disagreed with Governor Granholm, but I think at the end, she recognized and always recognized that a strong education was critical to our future. She never would have put forth the kind of tax bait and switch that we saw here with, you know, slashing, you know, massive $1 billion from public education, raiding the school aid fund to pay for higher ed and community colleges, all to pay for a massive tax break for corporate CEOs. You know, it's a difference between whether you're standing up for kids or whether you're standing up for CEOs. We believe that politicians need to stand up for kids.
Can there be a balance between allowing business what they need as far as the funding to be able to hire, to be able to grow, as opposed to getting education the funding that they need?
Sure, there's always balance points, but where's the accountability? You know, if the $1.8 billion tax break and the additional tax breaks that are being talked about in Lansing now for business, if those were tied to job creation, if businesses were told, look, you're going to get a tax break, but you're going to create jobs with this, that'd be one thing. But they're under no requirement to actually do anything with that money other than pad their bottom line.
All right, and a final question for you, Doug. Why shouldn't there be more charter schools in the state of Michigan?
Because charter schools have not proven themselves. The fact is, when they were created, they were supposed to innovate. They were supposed to change things. They were supposed to share what they learned with traditional neighborhood schools. That hasn't happened. The research clearly shows that while there are some high-performing charter schools, to be sure, most of them perform at or below their traditional neighborhood counterparts. It's not a fix. And when you really think about it, just snapping your fingers and turning a school into a charter, that doesn't make it any better. What makes it better, what changes things, is smaller class sizes, adequate resources, parental involvement, good teacher training. And those are things that we can do in our neighborhood schools if Lansing provides the resources to do it.
All right. There are a lot of poorly performing schools here in the state of Michigan, and I know that you're well aware of those. If we go down to Detroit, they've been an issue for years and years and years and years and years. What's been going on is not working. How do we fix those?
You know, I think it goes back to the things I just talked about. There are things that have been research proven that work. Smaller class sizes, better teacher training, parental involvement. This isn't all stuff that happens within the four walls of the school. You've got to take the entire community and make sure that they're pushing towards the same end. But the other thing that I really want to remind your listeners of is, you know, we like to paint with a broad brush here and say, oh, public schools are failing. Well, wait a minute. You know, there are thousands and thousands of public school success stories every day. So let's not lose sight of the fact that there are schools that are doing a darn fine job in this state.
Yeah.
You know, do we need to improve others? Do we need to focus on that? Absolutely. But our contention is focus on providing those resources and doing things that we know work, not things like charter schools or cyber schools that have never been proven that actually help students.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Doug, but as someone who grew up in the Detroit area, it's been decades of failure there. As someone who's been living here in the mid-Michigan area, the Lansing School District is failing. And what we've been trying, whether it's been a governor that's a Democrat, a governor that's a Republican, whether the leadership is there or not, they're failing.
And the commonality all the way across that whole time frame is that public education has never been adequately funded. Go back to where we first started. You know, what's that per pupil need to be? Well, you know, while I can't peg a number on it today right here on your show, I can tell you it's a lot more than $7,000. You know, we need to make sure that if we want a world-class education for all of our students, we need to pay for it.
All right, Doug. Thanks so much for your time. We might try to get a hold of you tomorrow just to get your response to what's going to happen today.
All right. I'm always happy to come on, Tony.
Thank you, sir.